Assemble devotees, all glories the assembled devotees, all glories the assembled devotees, all glories to Shri Guru and Gauranga, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Gaur Premananda. Good to see you all. So I wanted to give you some options for tonight's class, since it's an interactive class. I was thinking that we could do a series of classes, which would take several weeks to complete, studying each and every verse of the Bhagavad Gita. We could do that, but then you would all have to attend. And if you don't attend, then I will report you to Krishna, to Yamaraj, sorry, not Krishna. Krishna is too kind for you. So I will report you to Yamaraj. And I thought we'd go through all the verses of the Bhagavad Gita, beginning with the first verse of the Bhagavad Gita. That's one option. Another option is we can do questions and answers. And another option is we could do a summary study of the Nectar of Devotion, not reading the Nectar of Devotion, but a summary study of Nectar of Devotion. Since we're going to be having these classes, and I'm talking about the classes that are given at this time of the day, for those of you in New Zealand, Australia, America, and India, it's actually too late. So, do we have any votes? Vote now or for the whole... Yeah?
Hare Krishna Gurudev, first Nectar option. Of Devotion, please.
Nectar of Devotion, Krishna Chandra wants what?
First option, Bhagavad Gita.
Okay, one vote for Nectar Devotion, one.
Hare Krishna Gurudev, please accept my humble obeisances. Bhagavad Gita Gurudev, each verse would be very nice.
2-1 so far.
Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj.
What would you like, Draupadi?
Bhagavad Gita Guru Maharaj, please.
3-1. So the Bhagavad Gita is winning so far.
Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj, Namo Shila Prabhupada.
Yeah. What would you like?
Bhagavad Gita would be really nice.
Bhagavad Gita. Okay, that's 4-1 so far. So I think Bhagavad Gita.
Bhagavad Gita would be.
Okay. Okay. So I think we'll do Bhagavad Gita, and we're going to do verse by verse. And this may take months, just to let you know. This may actually take several months to do. But I think we're all going to be, well, maybe we won't all be in this situation for several months. So these classes will be given, Saturday, in New Zealand and Australia, it's going to be Saturday morning, Sunday morning, and Sunday morning, and maybe Tuesday morning, if that's all right. So if we're going to do this, we have to commit to continuing, because if you're going to just come in the middle or leave in the middle, it's not going to be as effective. Of course, all these classes are going to be recorded on Facebook. You're welcome to go to my Facebook page, BK Goswami Das, and make sure we get, are we loud enough? Yeah. Make sure that you catch up if you happen to miss a class. So is that all right?
Yes.
So we're going to start with the Bhagavad Gita. And I think, so what we're going to do is go quickly just the verses, and I'm not going to give a whole lecture on each verse either, and I think we're going to read some of the purports, Srila Prabhupada's purports, but we're going to explain the scenario, at least going through the first chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. We're going to explain, you know, the historical context of the Gita. For those of you who don't know about the Bhagavad Gita, okay, and so I'm going to project the Bhagavad Gita while we are here. So let us start. I prepared for the Bhagavad Gita, and I also prepared for doing the Nectar Devotion. So let's start in the beginning. Om Gana Timirandasha Gananjana Shlakaya Chakshurnu Meditam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So I think most of you are familiar with this verse. Dharmakshetra, Dhritarashtra Vacha, Dharmakshetra, Kurukshetra, Samaveta Yutsavaha, Mamaka Pandavascharva, Kimakorvata Sanjaya. This, which is actually a very important verse. And the word by word translation is as follows. Dhritarashtra Vacha, King Dhritarashtra said, Dharmakshetra, in the place of pilgrimage, Kurukshetra, in the place named Kurukshetra, Samaveta, assemble the Yutsavaha, desiring to fight, Mamaka, any my party, that is the sons, Pandavaha, the sons of Pandu, Cha, and Eva, certainly, Kim, what, Akuravata, did they do, O Sanjaya? So the translation is, O Sanjaya, after my sons and the sons of Pandu assembled in the place of pilgrimage at Kurukshetra, desiring to fight, what did they do? And I guess I will read Srila Prabhupada's purport, but I'm not going to give a whole class on each verse. So purport, Bhagavad Gita is the widely read theistic science summarized in the Gita Mahatmya, glorification of the Gita. There it says that one should read Bhagavad Gita very scrutinizingly with the help of a devout person who is a devotee of Sri Krishna, and try to understand it without personally motivated interpretations. The example of clear understanding is there in the Bhagavad Gita itself, in the way the teaching is understood by Arjuna, who heard the Gita directly from the Lord. If someone is fortunate enough to understand Bhagavad Gita in that line of disciplic succession without motivated interpretation, then he surpasses all studies of Vedic wisdom and all scriptures of the world. One will find in the Bhagavad Gita all that is contained in other scriptures, but the reader will also find things which are not to be found elsewhere. That is a specific standard of the Gita. It is the perfect theistic science because it is directly spoken by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Sri Krishna. The topics discussed by Dhritarashtra and Sanjaya, as described in the Mahabharata, form the basic principle for this great philosophy. It is understood that this philosophy evolved on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, which is a sacred place of pilgrimage from the time immemorial, or the immemorial time of the Vedic age. It was spoken by the Lord when he was present personally on this planet for the guidance of mankind. The word Dharmakshetra, a place where religious rituals are performed, is significant because on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, the Supreme Personality of Godhead was present on the side of Arjuna. Dhritarashtra, the father of the Kurus, was highly doubtful about the possibility of his son's ultimate victory. In his doubt, he inquired from his secretary, Sanjaya, what did they do? He was confident that both his sons and the sons of his younger brother Pandu were assembled in that field of Kurukshetra for a determined engagement of the war. Still, his inquiry is significant. He did not want a compromise between the cousins and brothers because he wanted to be sure of the fate of his sons on the battlefield. Because the battle was arranged to be fought at Kurukshetra, which is mentioned elsewhere in the Vedas as a place of worship, even for the denizens of heaven, Dhritarashtra became very fearful about the influence of the holy place on the outcome of the battle. He knew very well that this would influence Arjuna and the sons of Pandu favorably, because by nature they were all victorious. Sanjaya was a student of Vyasa, and therefore, by the mercy of Vyasa, Sanjaya was able to envision the battlefield of Kurukshetra even while he was in the room of Dhritarashtra. And so Dhritarashtra asked him about the situation on the battlefield. Both the Pandavas and the sons of Dhritarashtra belong to the same family, but Dhritarashtra's mind is disclosed herein. He deliberately claimed only his sons as Kurus, and he separated the sons of Pandu from the family heritage. Thus, one can understand the specific situation or position of Dhritarashtra and his relationship with his nephews, the sons of Pandu. As in the paddy field, the unnecessary plants are taken out. So it is expected from the very beginning of these topics that in the religious field of Kurukshetra, where the father of religion, Sri Krishna, was present, the unwanted plants like Dhritarashtra's son, Duryodhana, and others would be wiped out, and the thoroughly religious persons headed by Yudhisthira would be established by the Lord. This is the significance of the words Dharmakshetra and Kurukshetra, apart from the historical and Vedic importance. So we'll go back to the verse here. So Dhritarashtra Bhatya. Let's go back to the verse, actually, the translation. So several things to be understood here. First, I'm not going to give the whole history of the Mahabharata, but Sanjaya is Dhritarashtra's secretary. Sanjaya got the benediction from his guru, Vyasadeva, that he could actually have spiritual vision and see what was happening on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. Now, Vyasadeva, before that, offered Dhritarashtra that vision, but Dhritarashtra refused to get that vision, although Dhritarashtra was blind, because he did not want to see his sons killed. And actually, he knew it, that his sons would be killed. So they're sitting in the palace, and Sanjaya is relating everything that is happening. And as Srila Prabhupada comments here, that when Dhritarashtra refers to Pandu's sons as sons of Pandus, I mean, sons of Pandu, let's go back to the Sanskrit here. Pandava, rather than his nephews, it indicates that he was their enemy. Because usually, if you like someone, you refer to them in terms of their relationship with you. For example, let's say I have a disciple who's a rascal. That's not hypothetical. Anyway, so there's a disciple who's a rascal. And so I usually won't say, oh, what is my disciple doing? I will say, What is that pujari doing in your temple? So, you know, I'll refer to him not in a possessive sense, you know, my nephew or my disciple or my friend, but that rascal or your friend or your whatever. So he's indicating that there's a division here. And this is important in Indian culture. If someone is your nephew, you could treat them just like your sons. Just like your sons. So it's indicating there's an animosity here. Okay, that's the first verse. And we'll go on to the second verse. And of course, everything that Srila Prabhupada said in the purport is perfect. Text 2. Sanjaya Vachadristra tu Pandavani kam Buddham Duryodhanastada Acharyam Upasangam Ya Raja Vachanam Abravit. And anyway, we'll do the word by word synonyms because that's important. Sanjaya Vacha. Sanjaya said, Drishva, after seeing, to Bhat, Pandava, Anikam. And so we're only going to do this until 6:30, and then we take questions because we want to have some interactivity. That means the first half hour of this class. That's the way we're going to do it. Pandava, Anikam. The soldiers of the Pandavas, Vyudam, arranged in a military phalanx, Duryodhana, King Duryodhana, tada, at that time, Acharyam, the teacher, Upasang Kamya, approaching Raja, the king, Vachanam, words, Abravit, spoke. Sanjaya said, O king, after looking over the army arranged in military formation by the sons of Pandu, King Duryodhana went to his teacher and spoke the following words. So, purport, Srila Prabhupada's purport, Dhritarashtra was blind from birth. Unfortunately, he was also bereft of spiritual vision. He knew very well that his sons were equally blind in the matter of religion, and he was sure that they could never reach an understanding with the Pandavas, who were all pious since birth. Since he was doubtful about the influence of the place of pilgrimage, and Sanjaya could understand his motive in asking about the situation on the battlefield, Sanjaya wanted, therefore, to encourage the despondent king and thus assure him that his sons were not going to make any sort of compromise under the influence of the holy place. Sanjaya, therefore, informed the king that his son, Duryodhana, after seeing the military force of the Pandavas, at once went to the commander-in-chief, Dronacharya, to inform him of the real position. Although Duryodhana is mentioned as the king, he still had to go to the commander on account of the seriousness of the situation. He was therefore quite fit to be a politician. But Duryodhana's diplomatic veneer could not disguise the fear he felt when he saw the military arrangement of the Pandavas. Let's go back to the verse again. A little bit of history here. His teacher was Dronacharya. Dronacharya was in a very unfortunate circumstance before he actually became the teacher of the Pandavas. He was the teacher and the guru of the Pandavas and the Kurus. And the unfortunate circumstance he was in was that he was poverty-stricken. And because he was poverty-stricken, that is, he didn't have enough, you know, some stories say he didn't have enough milk to feed his son, but that's not there in the actual Mahabharata. But anyway, he was poverty-stricken, so he didn't understand to the fullest extent that a Brahmin should not accept employment, because once a Brahmin accepts employment for his teaching, then the Brahmin loses his caste. So Dronacharya came upon the Pandavas, and this whole story in the Mahabharata, how he took a ball out of a well and impressed the Pandavas, and he accepted employment as the teacher of the Pandavas and as the teacher of the Kurus. And because he accepted that employment, first of all, he lost his Brahminical status. Because as a Brahmin, he was capable, qualified, and allowed to teach martial arts, but he wasn't supposed to fight. A Brahmin can teach so many things. Prabhupada was talking one time about Varnashram, or Varnashram Dharma, and he said a Brahmin can teach all the things, but it's not that a Brahmin does all those things for his occupation. You know, a Brahmin can teach art, a Brahmin can teach business, but he doesn't become a businessman, he doesn't become an artist, he doesn't become a kshatriya or a politician. Excuse me. He remains as a teacher. And as a teacher, he gets his livelihood from charity. Yajan, yajan, patan, patan, dana pratigraha. These are the brahmana's authorized methods of making a living. So Duryodhana, so Drona didn't do that. He took employment for the wrong reason. And not only that, Prabhupada comments elsewhere that Dronacharya was eating impure food, food that was cooked in the kitchen of Duryodhana. All right. Duryodhana was not the cook, but there was impure food. And when you eat impure food, your mind becomes wicked. And that's very important. I was just listening to a story that a devotee told about his pastimes, or Prabhupada's pastimes. That once upon a time, they thought they would give Prabhupada some very, very nice bread. They were in California, and the name of the bread was Oro Wheat, which was like organic, natural, all those other nice things that we all appreciate. So they bought the bread from the store and gave it to Prabhupada. And that night, Prabhupada woke up and he said, you never, never buy bread again. Because obviously, Prabhupada could sense the karma, the modes of nature that were implanted within the grains of the bread. And Prabhupada actually said, it does make the mind wicked. I also had the same experience that when I first started traveling, and I was a brahmachari traveling with a sannyasi, we thought, you know, let's not take so much trouble in getting our foodstuffs together. So we went into the store and bought the same type of bread, the Oro Wheat bread, which is from California. And we bought that bread, and after 2-3 days, we found our consciousness was going down, down, down. And then after that, we took the trouble of cooking our own rotis and whatever inside a van, a cargo van, with a gas stove. And sometimes the cargo van was moving. But then our consciousness went up, up, up as soon as we started doing that. So here's someone, Dronacharya. He was continually eating contaminated food. His mind became contaminated. Not only that, he became possessed. Now, that's a heavy thing. And also, Grandfather Bhishma became possessed. How do I know that? It's there in the Mahabharata. Once upon a time, here's the story from the Mahabharata, that Duryodhana was captured by the Gandharvas. And this is when Duryodhana went to try to tease the Pandavas who were actually in exile. So he was captured by the Gandharvas, and he was freed by Arjuna, who was friends with the Gandharvas. And so Duryodhana was so, embarrassed, because he's a Kshatriya also, being saved by his enemy. He was so embarrassed that this has happened that he decided to commit suicide. So Duryodhana sat down in a yogic position and did his yoga stuff, you know, home. I don't know what he chanted. But he started to fast. That's interesting, starting to fast. Interesting expression. So he was fasting, and while he was fasting, he was taken out of the body by some of his demon associates, because Duryodhana and a lot of the soldiers who fought on the Battle of Kurukshetra, they were actually demons who had taken birth on the Earth planet. It's described in the Mahabharata that in the previous Yuga, the Dwarpa Yuga, demons took birth in Kshatriya families. Now, Bhagavatam also says that in Kali Yuga, demons take birth, not all Brahmins, but they take birth in Brahmin families. So there's so much cheating in the name of religion in Kali Yuga, not only in India, of course, but in the West. We have so many stories here in the West how people cheat, they take money, they run, They do so many illicit activities, and you know, sometimes they're found with a prostitute. Like Prabhupada was talking to this Cardinal Danilou one time, and this cardinal was later on found outside of a prostitute's apartment, dead, of course. So, Kali Yuga, it's like that. So in the previous Yuga, the Dwarpa Yuga, you had demons born in Kshatriya families. And so what that meant was that the demons previously had been defeated by the Supreme Personality of Godhead and his associates, and they had taken birth on the earth planet to get away from God and to get away from the devotees. And so that's what was happening with Duryodhana. He was like one of the chief demons. And Shakuni wasn't far behind either. So Duryodhana was taken by the demons, getting back to the story, and they took him down to Demon Loka, wherever that was, and they gave him a little pep talk. And they said, "Don't worry, Duryodhana. We are going to possess Grandfather Bhishma. We are going to possess Dronacharya. We are going to possess Kripacharya." So all these great personalities. No, we're not talking. We're talking about Dronacharya. We're not talking about just like some Rakshasa, Malecha, Yavana. I'm a very highly sophisticated, God-fearing man. Kripacharya also. So their minds became contaminated. It's interesting. The reason their minds became contaminated, of course, we say that food cooked by someone with bad consciousness contaminates the mind because it has the modes of nature connected. I have a whole other series of classes I'm going to be giving about the modes of nature from the Bhagavad Gita. So the modes of nature are connected to food, not only because of the type of food. You know, obviously in the Bhagavad Gita we have food of the mode of ignorance, food of the mode of passion, food of the mode of goodness. But also because of the person connecting. Let's say if I'm preparing something and I'm in the mode of ignorance, then when you eat that food, you will feel ignorant. It will affect your consciousness because the consciousness is carried by your blood. When you eat, the food becomes transformed to blood. It's like getting a transfusion. Would you take a transfusion from Robin? I mean, maybe if I was going to die, I would. There's no alternative. But normally, if I wanted to get a transfusion, I get a transfusion from a devotee. I mean, that makes sense, doesn't it? Not from someone with an infection. You know, previously many diseases were passed because they never checked the blood. I mean, in the beginning, that's how AIDS was passed, because people got transfusions and they didn't check the blood to see if HIV, that's the virus, was in the blood. So we should check when we get food, like, who's it coming from? And I remember eating prasadam from Prabhupada's plate, and, you know, not only was it cooked nicely by a devotee, Prabhupada didn't cook it, but when Prabhupada took the prasadam, ate it, he not only took the prasadam, obviously, but he transformed the prasadam into something called Mahaprasadam. So I remember eating from Prabhupada's plate, which I never shared with the other devotees because I was greedy, and practically feeling hairs, of course no hairs, Sikh at least, practically feeling the hairs standing on end, just eating from Prabhupada's plate because it was so potent, just taken from Prabhupada's plate. Anyway, so this is the potency of food offered to Krishna by someone with good consciousness. So on the other hand, you have Dronacharya and the others taking food cooked by someone with really bad consciousness, and so they became possessed by demons. They actually acted like that in the battle, etc. And the other reason, of course, was because Dronacharya had accepted employment, and when you accept employment, you really have to listen to your boss. So it's not bad to have employment, but at least for activities that are more brahminical, one should maintain their Brahminical equanimity or independence. In other words, I shouldn't be thinking, you'll say, I'm going out and preaching, doing Bhagavad Saptahas, I shouldn't be thinking that, oh, if I speak about this, people will give more money. And if I speak too much philosophy from the first canto of Bhagavatam or second canto of Bhagavatam, nobody will like it. And my business will go down and I won't have enough money. So one has to speak the truth. As they say in America, speak the truth to power. So we always have to be truth speakers. Of course, try to speak as pleasantly as possible. Krishna the Gita says, "Such a prihitam, the austerities of speech." So here's why Dronacharya actually became contaminated, and Duryodhana is going to Dronacharya at this particular juncture. Okay, next verse. Actually, I really enjoy the Bhagavad Gita. Even though it's just simple, I've read it so many times. So many new things come out. So the third verse is very nice. They're all nice. Paschaitan pandaputranam acharya matim jamum yuram drupada traina tava shishena dimata. Okay. Pascha, behold, they tam this. Pandaputranam of the sons of Pandu, Acharya, teacher, Mahatim, great, Jammu, military force, Vyuram, arranged, Drupada Putrena, by the son of Drupada, Tava, your Shishena, disciple, Dimata, very intelligent. O my teacher, behold the great army, the sons of Pandu, so expertly arranged by your intelligent disciple, the son of Drupada. And Prabhupada's purport, Duryodhana, a great diplomat, wanted to point out the defects of Dronacharya, the great Brahmana commander-in-chief. Dronacharya had some political quarrel with King Drupada, the father of Draupadi, who was Arjuna's wife. As a result of this quarrel, Drupada performed a great sacrifice by which he received the benediction of having a son who would be able to kill Dronacharya. Dronacharya knew this perfectly well, and yet as a liberal Brahmin, he did not hesitate to impart all his military secrets when the son of Drupada, Drishtadyumna, was entrusted to him for military education. Now on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, Drishtadyumna took the side of the Pandavas, and it was he who arranged for their military phalanx after having learned the art from Dronacharya. Duryodhana pointed out this mistake of Dronacharya so that he might be alert and uncompromising in the fighting. By this, he wanted to point out also that he should not be similarly lenient in the battle against the Pandavas, who are also Dronacharya's affectionate students. Arjuna especially was his most affectionate and brilliant student. Duryodhana also warned that such leniency in the fight would lead to defeat. Okay, let's go back to the verse. So, of course, Drishtadyumna was born from the fire like Draupadi was born from the fire. And what happened, I mean, it's not going to tell the whole story, but after the Pandavas and Kurus got their military education from Dronacharya, then what happened is that Dronacharya had sort of a score to equal with Drupada, because King Drupada had insulted Dronacharya when Dronacharya had asked for something. So, therefore, Dronacharya asked his students, the Pandavas and the Kurus, to capture Drupada. And so first the Kurus went, that means the sons of Dhritarashtra, and they were unsuccessful. And then the sons of Pandava went, they were successful in capturing Drupada. And what happened at that point, Dronacharya gave Drupada back half of his kingdom, and he kept the other half of his kingdom for his son Ashwatthama, who he was very attached to, very, very attached to. So Drupada was so upset, he performed a sacrifice to get a son who could kill Dronacharya. And he was doing this sacrifice, and actually the son was supposed to be born from his wife. So what happened, this is quite an interesting story in the Mahabharata. that they were doing their sacrifice and it came time for Drupada's wife to come so she could like drink kheer like people normally do when they want to have a kid in a Vedic sacrifice. And the Brahmins doing the sacrifice said to Drupada, bring your wife. So he sent some messengers to get the wife. The wife said, not now, I got to decorate myself, you know, comb my hair and all that other nice stuff. And the Brahmana said, now is the time. So if she's not going to come, we'll have the son without her. So they just threw the oblations into the fire, and boom, out of the fire came Drishtadyumna. And then right after that, out of the fire came Draupadi. And there was a voice from heaven that declared when Draupadi came out of the fire that this lady is going to be the cause of the destruction of the whole dynasty. Oh my God. So Drishtadyumna later on took education from Dronacharya, because Dronacharya was very liberal. But Dronacharya did other things because he really favored Arjuna from the beginning. Now it's interesting, in the battle, he didn't favor Arjuna. But before that, he wanted to make sure that Arjuna was the best bowman on the earth. So one of the things that happened when the Pandavas and Kurus were attending the school of Dronacharya is that there was this really low-class man, like an outcast, you know, really, really mlecha, whatever, kirat, whatever you may call it. And he previously, his name was Ekalavya, he previously wanted to be a student of Dronacharya, but Dronacharya didn't really want him as a student. He rejected him. So this Ekalavya, he was worshipping a statue or a deity of Dronacharya. And it's so potent when you worship the guru's statue or the guru's picture, whatever it is. He became a fantastic bowman. Fantastic bowman. So one day, but this was not known by Dronacharya, nor by the Pandavas, nor by the Kurus. So one day, this Ekalavya, he was practicing his arts, bowmanship, archery, and a dog came to harass him. The dog was barking, ruff, 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 ruff. And he just wanted to quiet the dog, so he shot practically simultaneously 10 arrows that just to keep the dog's mouth closed, open, so the dog couldn't bark. Didn't hurt the dog. So this dog had all these arrows that didn't really pierce, but it just kept his mouth open. And he ran, dog ran, to where the Pandavas were, that is the school of Dronacharya. And when the Pandavas saw that, and Dronacharya saw that, they ran and they saw Ekalavya, and they saw Ekalavya practicing his bows and arrows. And he was worshiping the deity of Dronacharya. And then Dronacharya was thinking, I didn't want to accept him as a disciple. So Ekalavya just begged, please let me be your disciple. And Dronacharya said, okay, you can be my disciple if you give me Guru Dakshin. And Ekalavya said, I'll give you whatever Guru Dakshin you want. Dronacharya basically said, well, I'd like to have your thumb as Guru Dakshin. And so, as a faithful so-called disciple, Ekalavya cut off his thumb and he was no longer a good bowman. And you see that Dronacharya was so much trying to protect the reputation of Arjuna by doing that. I mean, really loved Arjuna tremendously. Amazing story. Later on, Ekalavya fought on the side of the Kurus against the Pandavas during the Battle of Kurukshetra. So there's a little history there for you. So I thought we should interject a little history. Next verse. So he was the general, the first general. Remember this, during the Battle of Kurukshetra, there were a whole series of generals. After one general was killed, then another general took over. You know, there was Grandfather Bhishma as a general, there was Karna as a general at a particular point. So there were so many different generals after they got killed by the Pandavas. So next verse, okay? This is text 4. So, Atrashchura Maheshvasa Vimarjuna Samayuti Yudana Viratashchad Drupadascha Maharataha. Atra here, Shura heroes, Mahisha Ashtaha, mighty bowmen, Bhima Arjuna to Bhima and Arjuna, Sama equal, Yudhi the fight, Yuyudhana, Yuyudhana, Virataha, Virata, Cha also, Drupadaha, Drupada, Cha also, Maharataha, great fighter. Here in this army are many heroic bowmen equal in fighting to Bhima and Arjuna, great fighters like Duryodhana, Virata, and Drupada. So, because Bhima and Arjuna, I think you all know. So let's read the purport. Prabhupada's purport. Even though Drishtadyumna was not a very important obstacle in the face of Dronacharya's very great power in the military art, there were many others who were causes of fear. They are mentioned by Duryodhana as great stumbling blocks on the path of victory because each and every one of them was as formidable as Bhima and Arjuna. He knew the strength of Bhima and Arjuna, and thus he compared the others with them. So that's pretty self-explanatory. Text 5. Drishtaketus chakitanaha kashirajascha viryavan purajit kuntibhojascha shayvyascha narapungavaha. Drishtaketu, chakitanaha, chakitana, kashiraja, kashirajcha also. Viryavan, very powerful, Purujit, Kuntiboja, Cha, and Shaivya, Cha, and Narapungava, hero in human society. There are also great heroic, powerful fighters like Drishtaketu, Chaitana, Kashiraja, Purujit, Kuntiboja, and Shaivya. Okay, we don't have to get into every verse. A lot of this is just very explanatory. Next text, Yudhamanyus Chavikranta, Uttama Jaus Chavirivan, Soba Dro Drapade Yascha, Sarva Eva Maharadaha. Yudhamanyu Cha and Vikrantaha, mighty, Uttama Ja Cha and Virivan, very powerful, Sobhadra, the son of Subhadra. Draupadeya, the sons of Draupadi, Cha and Sarve, all, Eva, certainly, Maha, Radaj, great chariot fighters. Translation, there are the mighty Yudhamanyu, the very powerful Uttamaja, the son of Subhadra and the sons of Draupadi. All these warriors are great chariot fighters. So Subhadra's son, of course, was Abhimanyu. And she was married to Arjuna. And Abhimanyu was one of the great heroes of the battlefield of Kurukshetra. There's a battle that took place later on when Arjuna was drawn away from the battle. And Abhimanyu was challenged to enter the chakra formation of the Kurus. And no one else knew how to enter that chakra formation, and this chakra formation was going to be deadly. And so Abhimanyu, he went into this chakra formation, but the Pandavas who were supposed to follow him to protect him were not able to enter this chakra formation. They were prevented because the chakra formation closed behind Abhimanyu. And when Abhimanyu entered into the center, there were all the fighters on the other side, and they all ganged up on him, and he was single-handedly able to take care of them for many hours. And finally, they defeated him in an unfair fight. But he was one of the greatest heroes of the Battle of Kurukshetra. And of course, the sons of Draupadi, they were the sons of the five Pandavas. And they were all very young. They were all like 16, 15 years old at this particular time. And somehow or other, they all got killed in the battle, but they performed many heroic activities. So these are all Maharatas. Maharatas means they can defeat so many hundreds of or thousands of ordinary soldiers and so many horses and so many elephants and so many chariot fighters. And the only more powerful fighter than a Maharata is an Atirata. Okay, text 7. Asmakam tu vasishtaye tannibodha dvijotama nayaka mama sainyasya samyartam tan ravimite. Asmakam are to but vishishtaha, especially powerful, yehu tan them. Nibodha, just take note of, be informed, dvijaka uttama, O best of the brahmanas. Nayakaha, captains, mama mai, sainyasya, of the soldiers, samgya artam, for information, tan them, bravimi, I am speaking te, to you. But for your information, O best of the brahmanas, that's Dronacharya again, was being spoken to by Duryodhana. Let me tell you about the captains who are especially qualified to lead my military force. So Duryodhana is trying to really become encouraged by describing the captains here. And so, wait a second. Bhavan bhijmascha karnascha kripascha samitim jaya ashvatama vikarnascha somadatti stitayva cha. Bhavan, your good self, Bhijma, grandfather Bhijma, cha also, karnaha karna cha, and kripa cha, and samitang jaya, always victorious in battle, ashvatama vikarna cha, as well as Somadatti, the son of Somadatta, Tata, as well as Ava certainly cha also. There are personalities like you, Bhijma, his grandfather Bhijma, Karna, who is the enemy of Arjuna, Kripacharya, who is also supposed to be a Brahman, Ashvatam, the son of Dronacharya, Vikarna, and the son of Somadatta named Bhurishrava, who are always victorious in battle. In Prabhupada's purport, Duryodhana mentions the exceptional heroes in the battle, all of whom are ever victorious. Vikarna is the brother of Duryodhana. Ashvatthama is the son of Dronacharya. And Somadatti, or Bhushrava, is the son of the king of the Paligas. Karna is the half-brother of Arjuna. Of course, he doesn't realize that, as he was born of Kunti before her marriage with King Pandu. Kripacharya's twin sister married Dronacharya. Kripacharya's twin sister is known as Kripi. So just a little information about Karna, which I think you all know, but I'll tell it again, is that before Kunti married Pandu, she served this great sage, Durvasa, very, very nicely. And Durvasa gave a mantra to entice a demigod to come down. It was like a seduction mantra, and she didn't realize it was a seduction mantra. She was just a very young, unmarried girl. And so she thought, after she got the mantra, let me use it. And she used it, and the sun god came down and gave her a little baby, and she was so embarrassed that she had gotten that little baby before she got married. She put the baby in a little basket. The basket flew down, it floated down in the river and was adopted by Karna's adopted parents. Radheya was his mother's name. Anyway, so nobody knew, at least until Karna was killed. Krishna knew, of course, and also Kunti knew, but practically no one else knew. I think even grandfather Bhishma, he also knew. But nobody actually knew Karna's heritage like that. They all thought he was just a Shudra, someone who was born in a very low-class family, even though he had all these Kshatriya skills and he was just equally a bowman with Arjuna. And in the beginning, he had this invincible armor and earrings. Nobody could defeat him. Even if they shot an arrow, the Brahmastra, at him, it would just bounce off. And that invincible armor was taken away by Indra by a trick. But that's the whole story, Mahabharata, we're not going to talk about. But Karna was invincible in the beginning before that armor was taken away. All right. Actually, we're having such a good time. I wanted to stop, but let's read another verse or two. Anye cha bahava sura marate chaktachi vataka nanshastra viharana sarve yuda visharadaha. Anye, others, cha also, bahava, in great numbers, suraha, heroes, marate, for my sake, chakta jivataka, prepared to risk life, nana, many, shastra weapons, praharanaha, equipped with, sarve, all of them, yuda visharadaha, experience in military science. There are many other great heroes who are prepared to lay down their lives for my sake. All of them are well equipped with different kinds of weapons and all their experience in military science. Purport. As far as the others are concerned, like Jayadrath, Kritavarma, and Shalya, all are determined to lay down their lives for Duryodhana's sake. In other words, it is already concluded that all of them would die in the battle of Kurukshetra for joining the party of sinful Duryodhana. Duryodhana was, of course, confident of his victory on account of the above-mentioned combined strength of his friends. So maybe we will end there and take some questions. Does anyone have any questions about any of the points or any of the aspects of the story that we told so far? Yes, Krishna Chandra.
Gurudev, regarding when Bhagavad Gita was spoken, so can we say that along with Arjuna, Sanjay and Dhritarashtra also heard Bhagavad Gita?
Along with Arjuna, of course Arjuna heard it, Sanjay and Dhritarashtra, yes. They also heard Bhagavad Gita.
Was there any change in the heart of Dhritarashtra after hearing Bhagavad Gita?
No, come on. I mean, he was just envious of the Pandavas, and he was aware, even in the beginning, that his sons, you know, were losers. But attachment is like that. I mean, I'll give you an example. I don't know if I should talk about this. Anyway, dietary attachments. You know, so, all right, I'll talk about, let me talk about cigarettes. I don't want to offend any devotees. Devotees don't smoke cigarettes. So I'm not going to talk about people's attachment to certain types of food, even though it kills them. Maybe I will talk about that after I talk about cigarettes. So, for example, there's people who smoke cigarettes. And what happens, or cigars or whatever it is, and they know they're going to get cancer. I mean, it's on the package. I think in most civilized countries or even uncivilized countries, they have it on the package. Yet people still do it, right? I mean, as far as I know, they still do it. Even there was one man who had to have a tracheotomy or something. He had his throat taken out. Anyway, he had his vocal cords taken out, and he had to breathe through a hole in the neck. And actually, when you get a hole in the neck, the interesting thing is you got to clean it every day with like a little cleaning rod. And still he was smoking through the hole in the neck. So material attachment is like that. I mean, just, you know, one's addicted to drinking, one's addicted to a certain type of food. I'm just thinking whether I should mention this in class. Anyway, I guess I will. I'll get in trouble. I will anyway. So... Just like we've been talking about protection of cows, you know, so people know where milk from unprotected cows comes from. It comes from a slaughterhouse, something like a concentration camp. And still they take it because they're addicted to it. You know, fortunately here in North Carolina, we've made an arrangement with an Ahimsa farm to pay a lot more per gallon of milk, so we can have milk for the deities. But many people, even if you tell them you can get milk from protected cows for like 20, we're not paying that much, but you get from $20 a gallon, they won't do that. They'd rather buy from cows that are slaughtered or that have their calves slaughtered. And people are addicted to things. I mean, don't we all do things that we know we shouldn't do or they're going to harm us because don't have a control? So Duryodhana was extremely attached. I mean, Dhritarashtra was extremely attached to his children. And he could have prevented this wholesale slaughter. He could have had his children had he just disciplined his children. In fact, there's that whole story of when the Kurus were born. Well, let's go back a little bit. So, Gandhari, the mother of the Kurus, the wife of Dhritarashtra, was pregnant for some period of time. And what happened is that Kunti gave birth first. That means Kunti was the wife of Pandu. So what happened, the reason she was upset is because when you have two princes or two kings and they have wives and one wife gives birth first, that older person, the older kid, will become the next king under normal circumstances. So Gandhari got so upset that she actually punched her womb and she gave birth to a lump of flesh. The lump of flesh was divided by the mercy of Srila Vyasadeva into 101 pieces because she also wanted a daughter. And those pieces were actually put into like incubators devised by Vyasadeva. And gradually the embryos grew in each of those incubators. And the first one born was Duryodhana. And when Duryodhana was born, the horoscope that was done at the time of his birth, as well as other factors, predicted that he was going to be the cause of the destruction of the whole dynasty. So Dhritarashtra was advised, give that son up. We're not talking necessarily kill him, but just give him up. Give him up, you know, just reject him. But Dhritarashtra was so attached to that one son, even though we knew the son was going to be the cause of the destruction of the whole dynasty, that he allowed the son to remain in the castle, and the son was actually eventually given the title of Yuvaraj, which means the next the crown prince, basically, who's going to be the next king. So attachment is like that. Attachment is blind. Love is blind, isn't it? So even though he knew, you know, what is this hope against hope? Of course, spiritually we have a intelligent hope against hope. We know that even though we have no attraction for hearing and chanting the Lord's holy names and for the causes that bring that about, Krishna's going to save us. That's based upon intelligence. It is not simply based upon ignorance. But to hope that someone like Duryodhana was going to be successful and against Krishna in a holy place, that was hopeless, like that. But he was attached. You know, that's what attachment does. By attachment, we destroy so many things because of our attachment. Does that answer your question? I mean, it was intense.
Yes, do that.
Intense attachment. He knew. He knew what was going to happen. I mean, psychologically, maybe not consciously, but unconsciously he knew. That's why he talked about Kurukshetra. Kurukshetra is a holy place. In a holy place, the good guys are going to win. Even in an unholy place, the good guys win ultimately. The mode of goodness always wins ultimately over the lower modes of nature. That's just the way the material energy is arranged. So, don't get insanely attached to anything. Use your intelligence. Be compassionate. You know, don't get attached, don't cause violence to other living entities in the name of serving the tongue. Dharmade jivayati lobamori sudurmati take chitakatina samsare. The class I was listening to the other day with Prabhupada was talking about how we're all serving the tongue. I mean, just like right now. I mean, right now, some of the places in the United States are opening up, even though the virus is, you know, United States is the home for the coronavirus now, number one place for the coronavirus. So there's many states that are opening up. And it's interesting, I was talking to the devotees about this earlier, that they say, all right, now the bars can open. And you can have bars and restaurants, you can have up to 100 people in each bar. But you can only have 10 people in each church. Pretty stupid, isn't it? I mean, it doesn't even make sense because people are so attached. I mean, just imagine another example of attachment that people really want to go to the hairdresser. And that's not just women we're talking about. We're talking about men. I mean, they're just, the first pictures I saw of people in the hairdresser, at the hairdressers, were men, not women. This is Kali Yuga. And you men with a mohawk. I think you all know what a mohawk is. A mohawk is like when you have your hair out like this. It looks like a razor blade on your head. And so that's because the reason it's called a mohawk is because the American Indians, one particular tribe was called the Mohawks. That's where it came from. Good old America, for those of you in New Zealand. So people were sitting there, they say, well, social distancing, you know. To get your hair done? I mean, I can understand it's some critical thing, you have an operation, a heart attack or something like that, you know, all right, go to the doctor. But, you know, your hair? I mean, people are so attached. It shows just so crazily attached that people will do things to risk their lives to have their hair done. Can you think of a greater stupid thing than that? You know, just get a buzzer and cut it all off. Anyway, people or have their nails done. You know, there's many stories in the newspaper now that, oh, be careful when you cut your nails, you should go to a professional nail cutter. It's called manicurist. So people, what can I say? People are attached, and they do stupid things because of their attachment. So we can learn from Duryodhana and Dhritarashtra, we can learn from Dhritarashtra about stupid attachments. Good lesson. Thank you for asking that question. Any other quick questions?
Dhanvat Pranam Maharaj, this is Abhiram.
Oh, Hare Krishna Abhiram. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you, Maharaj? Please accept my humble obeisances.
I'm still alive. I haven't gone to the disco yet, but, you know.
Maharaj. Yep.
Yeah.
I just had a question. In Srila Prabhupada, in his translate, he's mentioning Duryodhana, a great diplomat. What does a great diplomat means? Whether is it a sign of a? I mean, when we're talking about diplomat person or diplomatic people, is it a sign always to be taken into the mode of the goodness, or it has to be always taken into the mode of the passion, or always has to take into the mode of the ignorance?
Diplomacy is a mode of passion thing.
Okay.
Because you say something to one person, you say another thing. I mean, there's different varieties of diplomacy. But in other words, you have something you want to accomplish, and you may be either lying to someone else or lying to yourself. And that's what Duryodhana was doing at this particular point. He was lying to himself and encouraging, even though he knew subconsciously he was going to lose, encouraging Dronacharya and others, even though he knew he was going to lose. That's diplomacy. You know, we're going to win. You know, so that's diplomacy. Diplomacy means basically you're not always telling the truth. It's other things. According to Sandana Marka, who were teaching Prahlad Maharaj, diplomacy can also mean dealing with your enemy by sweet words, giving them a high position, then divide and conquer, giving a bribe, or threats, or finally argumentum ad vaculum, hitting someone. There's different ways of dealing with it. Basically means friends and enemies. Prabhupada one time defined diplomacy as someone who sees certain people as enemies and certain people as friends. Where someone in the mode of goodness sees one underlying spiritual nature and sees everybody as ultimately their brother or sister. So just the idea that there were enemies, that's another angle of vision, apart from Duryodhana lying to himself and lying to others, is that he's seeing the other party as their enemies, even though they're his cousin brothers. So, okay?
Thank you.
Diplomacy
Thank you
comes
much.
From the mode of passion. When in the mode of ignorance is not going to be diplomatic. He's going to be drunk. Okay?
Okay. Thank you very much, Maharaj.
All right, one other question.
Hare Krishna Gurudev Dandavat Pranam. Sorry.
Oh my God. Nalini Kant. Where are you?
Gurudev, I'm in the clinic, so that's why can I put my video on off?
Yeah. Yeah, I like to see you like that.
Okay. Gurudev. Sorry, Gurudev.
Getting your hair done. Anyway, I'm just joking. So, what's the question?
Gurudev, Gandhari had 101, so 101.
100 sons, one daughter.
So the daughter was not from Gandhari and she was from Dasi Putri, is it?
No. That the daughter was from Gandhari.
That was from. So Dhritarashtra
there was a son that Dhritarashtra had with a Dasi, yes.
Okay, so that means total of 102 Gurudev?
There were 102 entities, but not at the same time. Of the little incubators, there was only 101.
Okay, Gurudev.
The Dasi gave birth a normal way.
Okay, Gurudev. Gurudev, one more question. One who is chariot driver, I heard recently, I wasn't aware of it, that in previous yugas, the one who is on the ratha, they used to kick the chariot driver to direct which direction to go. Is that true, Gurudev?
Yeah, of course, they would tell the chariot driver which direction to go.
But was it by kicking on them?
Kicking? I can't say. I haven't read that in the Mahabharata.
Okay, because question was like, did Krishna was kicked by Arjuna to show the direction?
I don't think Arjuna would kick Krishna.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, Gurudev. Thank you, Gurudev.
Yeah, I mean, if I had a chariot driver, I wouldn't kick him either.
Okay.
I would make sure he was wearing headphones so I could speak to him.
Okay, Gurudev.
Okay?
Okay, Gurudev. So it's not true that they were directed by the one who is on the ratha only by kicking.
I don't know. I mean, it's been 5,000 years since I've been on a chariot, so I don't really remember it that well.
Okay.
You know, all I know is what the Shastra says. I haven't read that in Shastra.
Okay, Gurudev.
So I could speculate, yes, I could speculate, no, but I can tell you that Arjuna did not kick Krishna.
Yes.
When the Bhagavad Gita was spoken, Arjuna realized that Krishna was God. He ain't going to kick God. That's bad news to kick God.
Okay.
Krishna was his guru.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, Gurudev, thank you.
So I think that's enough, and I think...
I actually, if you allow it, I have a quick comment, Gurudev.
Okay. Yeah.
My humble obeisances. Actually, I know a chariot driver that you have had for 23 years. I know of a particular chariot driver that you've made drive you everywhere, including to New Orleans and all over the place, and you most certainly kicked him many times.
That's funny. My brother's making a joke because he was my driver for many years, and I used to beat him and kick. No, not really. He's just joking. He's just joking. I never did that. I would never, I can't say never, but I usually would. So thank you very much, everybody. So let's see, tomorrow we have the Sunday feast thing, so it's not going to be a regular Bhagavad Gita, but whenever we do this at this time of night, 6 o'clock East Coast time, 10 o'clock in the morning, New Zealand time, 8 o'clock in the morning, Australia time, you know, and middle of the night Europe and middle of the night India, whatever it is. We're going to continue with the Bhagavad Gita discussion. But tomorrow night we have tomorrow's Saturday. I'm sorry. I'm thinking today, tomorrow, with I'm on Australia time. So tomorrow we're going to have same time. Same time, same station. And the next day, no, we'll skip a day and then go after that. Okay, thank you very much. All glories to His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, Ki Jai, Gaur Premananda, Hari Hari Bol.
Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj.
Hari Bol Draupadi, bye-bye.